Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Path Forward. It is November 4th, Election Day in both New York. I think New York, Illinois, I can't remember the last day. Here in Arizona, we have 4 referendums, so this will be somewhat short today because I'm going to go and actually vote. The madness continues. You know you're getting psyoped. You know you're watching a psyop in progress when you Ben Shapiro, Mark Levine, and a host of others coming out, and their talking points are all the same, and literally all the same. It's amazing to me how the whole situation has gotten to be, it's just madness. And I think the thing that's most interesting about the whole affair is that he's reacting to an interview that Tucker Carlson did with Nick Fuentes. And it's a couple of days old. But, about a week ago, I tagged Elon Musk and said, hey, why is my Twitter feed full of liberal tropes and, Ukraine nonsense? I literally, my whole feed was liberal politicians, the whole, government shutdown, it was just nonsense. Now it's all Ukraine's winning, Zelensky's visiting the front, Nick Fuentes, Tucker's not mega. Here's how the game's played. The game's played when you first of all, it's right out, let me just back up. It's everything we're seeing is right out of the pawns in the game. I mean, it's crazy stupid how it's literally right out of pawns in the game, the whole script. And none of these narratives are new, none of them. In fact, this whole online debate, look, I don't like Nick Fuentes. It's like Alex Jones. I can only listen to him. Even if he has good points, I can only listen to him for so long. And it's the same thing with Ben. Well, I can't listen to Ben Shapiro at all. He's a feckless coward. I just can't stand him. And Mark Levine's about the same way. But the whole point is that they're trying to create division. They're trying to do exactly what they did with the same messaging way back in 2003 and 2004 when Bush came, when George W. Bush got us into the Iraq War. It was the exact same narrative. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. It's the same message. You're either Israel first or you're not MAGA, right? I'm not MAGA anyway. I'm a nationalist. I don't care about, America should be first in everything we do. That should be our ethos across the country. And anybody that comes into this country should be forced, and I do mean forced, to indoctrinate into our society as it is, not we change our society so they don't have to adapt. Every bit of that is the construct of the color revolution and all of the other, let's just say, nonsense that has been pushed on the American public. And the part that gets under my skin the most is the whole feud is a construct so that they can divide the public. It's all the same game, division, right? But this narrative where they're trying to dehumanize Tucker, they're trying to dehumanize Nick Fuentes. Whether you like Nick Fuentes or not, whether you like Ben Shapiro or not, I do respect their right to free speech. I do respect their right to say whatever they want to say as long as it's not a threat and doesn't harm people. But this back and forth, you have to be Israel first, or you're an anti-Semite or a Nazi or whatever adjective they want to use to describe you. First of all, the Israeli lobby, and I don't call it the Jewish lobby, it's the Israeli lobby. They're running out of people to call Nazis. Let's call a spade a spade. They're just running out of people to villainize. And I don't like what the Israeli government did or their view on any of the activities in Gaza. But at the end of the day, it's not two camps. It's either you're America first or you're not. And as Americans, we should be American first, just like, you know, Israelis should be Israel first, or, you know, Egyptians should be Egypt first, right? Our national identity is what has set us apart for generations. It's the one thing they want to destroy the most, is our national identity. And they're doing it, they're trying to do it through trying to control speech. And just because you criticize the government of Israel doesn't mean you're an anti-Semite. And, you know, I don't believe in literally condemning one entire religion because of a few bad apples at the top. Because, look, every government leader commits crimes just to govern. It's a fact of life. And it's a fact of life that's been around for centuries. It's not a new phenomenon, right? But Americans, unlike other cultures in the world, we don't have these deep-seated hatreds that date back 2,000 or 3,000 years. We just don't, because our country is only 250 years old. And because of that, we don't have the same cultural and ethnic animosities that other cultures do. But you don't get a pass. And the fact that every single time somebody goes out and says something that the Jewish lobby or the Israeli government doesn't like, they're branded as an anti-Semite. Not okay. Because that's a foreign nation meddling in the affairs of our country. This whole concept of favored nations. We should not have favored nations. The favored nation should be the USA. That should be our favored nation. And every decision that we make, everything that they comes out of our governing body should benefit our nation first. It should benefit our nation above all others, no matter what the situation. And we should do things and negotiate with other countries to our benefit. And if we can make it mutually beneficial, well, that's even better. Because then both countries profit from whatever the deal is that we're making, or whatever the situation is. And we're able to continue to govern without the influence of a foreign nation. And every single time I hear Ben Shapiro speak, first of all, he's a coward because he hides behind the skirt of Israel and the Mossad, which drives me absolutely insane. And, you know, two differences between Nick Fuentes and Ben Shapiro. First, Nick Fuentes doesn't have an entire nation state behind him to give him support. Second of all, when he was banned in 2020 and 2021 from all platforms, he didn't go have dinner with Mark Zuckerberg and plead with Mark Zuckerberg to stay on Facebook. He took the hit, he moved on, and he started his own platform. Right, wrong, or indifferent, social media is the town square. It always has been the de facto town square, which means all these private companies that profit from the town square, including X, should not be allowed to dictate who gets to stay and who gets to go. The community rules should be very clear. They should be very succinct. And if you break those rules, you get kicked off the platform. And there should be a timeout period where you could retract your statement or whatever. But a town square is a town square. And I don't care who you are. You don't get to use a nation state and hide behind their skirt to go tell the world that this person shouldn't be allowed to speak. I don't care who you are. And the fact that every single time somebody criticizes Israel, they mobilize all the forces and the talking points are all the same. But the insidious part of this, the part that really gets under my skin, is the piece where they're now calling and saying that Tucker's not MAGA. Tucker's not, he's not American. And I can't remember the congressman's name that did the speech on Sunday off the top of my head. But that jelly roll, and he represents all of Congress. And I mean all of Congress that has taken AIPAC money. I mean, if you're going to stand up there like a meat sack and call for violence for somebody who's got a political opinion that opposes you, you're no different than the people that you're calling Nazis. And the fact that this continues, this should tell you exactly why Congress is completely irrelevant. First of all, the war on terror ended when we left Afghanistan, officially ended when we left Afghanistan. So why do we still have TSA? Why do we still have the Patriot Act? Why do we still have Smith-Mund modernization? I'll tell you why. Because all these people are on the payroll and they benefit from maintaining the control. But we don't need any of that right now. In fact, when I was a kid, you could literally walk right up to the gate and watch somebody walk on the airplane. You didn't have to go through security. You didn't have to have a bunch of special information and a fake boarding pass. You could go walk somebody to the gate. You got to go right to the gate because there was no threat. And I contend to you now, there's no threat. Yeah, hijackings happened. But this artificial control grid, because of the war on terror, sorry, it doesn't play anymore. All it does is it emboldens somebody like Ben Shapiro to leverage the system to silence people that he doesn't agree with or that the people paying him in Israel don't agree with. And this had nothing to do with him being a Jew. Nothing. In fact, let me just level set. So when all of his people listen to this and freak out, my role model, in fact, one of the men in my life that not only molded me, but supported me throughout my career and is still a very good friend of mine that I talk to almost every day was my homeroom school teacher. He went on to be a superintendent and retired from the school system. He's a Jew. And he's got some fairly liberal views. But we respect each other and we agree to disagree. We call out the hypocrisy. We call out the views that we don't agree with. But we still respect each other. And we still have the conversation, even the hard ones. And we've had some contentious arguments, especially about education. But at the end of the day, I still respect the man. In fact, I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for him. He among one another. And to sit and listen to a guy like Mark Levine, who's done nothing his entire life, I mean, you sit in front of a mic, you haven't done anything. Sorry. And when you go on these endless rants about a political opinion that you don't respect or you don't like, fine. But when you start calling for somebody to be assassinated and you do it in the same way that they did with Charlie Kirk, villainize him, dehumanize him, and then watch him execute it. None of that is America first. none of that is quote unquote mega, right? It's my problem. It's the same problem I have with the whole Q crowd. They've created a religion for themselves. And now if you speak out against the religion, you're a shill, or you're a Fed, or you're a government asset, or whatever the narrative is, or the adjectives they want to use to describe it. It's always the same game, always. And if we want to get back to who we really are and what this country is, and most importantly, save the country, that has to stop, every bit of it. And this, it's like the extreme left, right? The whole blue sky crowd. They live in a bubble. And if go listen to Joe Rogan and Elon.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Musk. His last interview with Joe Rogan. You know, I have a lot of feelings about Elon Musk, right? I have a lot of feelings about Peter Thiel. But I'm not going to go out and advocate for somebody to assassinate those guys, right? We have a justice system that if it was functional and they committed crimes, they should be handled through the justice system. Like Bill Gates. Bill Gates needs to stand trial for crimes against humanity, among other things, just like Borla and the rest. But at the end of the day, they've created these extreme camps, and they fostered, and Obama, and I blame Obama for a lot of this, because when he came to town, that's when the racist tropes started. And some of it had started before he came to town, but it accelerated when he came to town. And everything he does is about deconstruction and division. And as far as I'm concerned, Fuentes and Shapiro are in the same camp. Divisive and great. You can talk and be in the same room. But until you can do that consistently, guess what? And you notice how Shapiro goes off and whines like a bitch, but he won't have Nick Fuentes on the show to confront him directly. Like, if you want to solve the problem of Nick Fuentes and Fuentes wants to solve the problem of Shapiro, why don't you stand up and be a man and get on a show with him and debate him? I'll tell you why you can't. Because you're a shill. And that's the worst. Worst kind of public figure. If we want our country, then, and I've said this before, unity is a hill we die on. And look, I'm just as guilty of division as everybody else. I have things that get under my skin like a rash. But I'm willing to talk to anybody, even if I disagree with them. I'm willing to look at a viewpoint. And you know, and I'll use Sherita as an example, right? One of the things I've harped on for endless hours is how our enemy uses numerology and astrology to plan their events. And somebody needs to crack the code on how they plan and how they, it's no different than breaking the JN-25 codes in World War II. It's the same thing. We break those codes, we figure out how the enemy plans, and we can get ahead of their operations. But I took a mountain of shit and lost thousands, literally thousands of followers because I was having her post things on my channels so people could actually pay attention and try and understand it. Because it's not my domain of expertise, but I'm willing to try and understand it, right? I may not agree with everything Shapiro says. I definitely don't agree with everything that Nick Fuentes says. But I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to debate, and I'm willing to figure out where the common ground is. Until we get back to that, the only path we're on now is civil war. And it's civil war until people figure out who's been gaslighting them. You know, the people I really feel bad for are all these trans moms and dads that have convinced their kids that they're trans and they're going to push their kids to get castrated, and eventually their kids are going to kill themselves if they don't die on the table during the surgery. And that's what I really feel bad for. Talk about a black pill. They're going to get blackpilled all in one moment. But like everything else, there's no belly button to point to say, that's the person that started all this. Because they all hide in the shadows. That's what the elite do. They hide in the shadows and they meddle. And this is a time, you know, age old problem, right? The rich have always meddled in politics. They've always meddled in foreign policy. They've always meddled in our day-to-day lives. And they've always done it from afar. But this toxic debate has to stop. Because this bullshit of you're either with us or you're against us, that shit only ends one way. It ends with gunfire. And that's not the end state any of us signed up for. And that's the other part of the equation. None of us voted for Mark Zuckerberg to be judge, jury, and executioner for our speech. And the fact that he's been allowed, like Sergey Brin and the rest of the tech bros, to decide what speech you hear and what speech you don't, those days need to come to a rapid and very, very swift end and die a loud, grotesque military death. And look, the pendulum will swing the other way once that happens. And you'll see all kinds of speech that is completely off the rocker. That's why we have to have succinct rules. You know, in the military, we have rules of engagement. You will do this, you will not do this, and this will put you in jail. It should be that simple. But the fact that they've muddied the waters and softened the language is the reason why everything's a wild west right now. It's why the madness continues. There's no boundaries around the mainstream media. They can gaslight you and lie. There's no boundaries around social media companies, so they can ban you and shadow ban you and feed you bullshit all day in your feed, and you have no recourse whatsoever. Nobody voted for that. There's no consensus for that. And the fact that the system's gone so far to the corrupt side is where the massive reset has to happen. And I don't mean like, you know, we burn down all these companies. I mean, they have to be reset. The whole thing should make your blood boil, but it just shows how toxic social media has become. And it's been allowed to become toxic. It's been allowed to be curated so all you see is nonsense. And it's being curated to play on your emotions and literally drive you over the edge so that you do something emotional. But to see this, and you know, I saw at least 75 posts today, at least 75, that were all the same narrative around Tucker. All Tucker did was have a conversation. And he said, here, one more criticism, criticizing you on this. Literally had a civil conversation with Nick Fuentes. So why do you believe this? Like, that's journalism. That's actually what journalism's all about. You ask the hard questions, you let people respond, and then you give them the airtime to hang themselves. And I'll give you a case in point. There's a part in the interview where Nick Fuentes says, I'm a fan of Stalin. It doesn't matter what follows that. Everybody in the world should have been like, what? You're a fan of Stalin? That guy killed more people than the Germans killed Jews in World War II. Everybody should have been, wait, what? What are you a fan of? I would have stopped, what are you a fan of? Let's stop right there. And I would have taken him to task. And look, there's those points in an interview where you're caught in the moment and you don't really have a response. I mean, Luongo did it to me. I was on an interview with him. I think it was on either Tommy's podcast or it was on Mike Ferris's show. And he said, you know, Israel had to do it. I was like, wait, what? And I was stunned. Like, no, they didn't. And I didn't take him to task. I just said, nope, I don't agree with that at all. And part of it was, you get caught up in the moment, you're like, whoa, wait, whoa, 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 what? The point is that we need to have civil discourse. We need to have dialogue that is back and forth. The extreme left, the trans movement, the whole, and Elon describes it perfectly. You know, he talks about San Francisco in the interview with Joe Rogan. And he says, you know, if you're fishing water, you don't know the water's tainted. You just know you're in the water. And the city of San Francisco is so tainted. They're so far to the left, they need a telescope to look towards the center. And those people are right-wing extremists, and they're centrists. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And it's very telling that the trans movement, they're so, it's like the gender ideology group, right? That thinks that there's 7,000 genders that they can create. It's all bullshit, but they're so seeped in their own religion and they live in their echo chamber that they can't hear the wind blowing. Those people you can't reason with. There's no reasoning with that crowd. Because they're so far into their belief system that they can't get past themselves, even if they wanted to. And let's face it, it's like the gender folk. You misgendered me. Well, how am I supposed to read your mind? Am I supposed to just look at you and go, you're a cis or you're a sus or you're a pansexual or whatever the fuck you want to call yourself? How would I know that? Unless you're wearing a sign. And even then, I'm going to give less of a shit when I read the sign than I will when I walk away. But the point is, their religion has become their only reality. And because of that, you can't cross the aisle and have a conversation about it. And the fact that they've been allowed to have the mic for so long because of people like Obama and the Clintons. It's the reason why they're so ardent in their belief system, because they're in an environment that reinforces whatever lunacy is put on the table next. And let's face it, there's only two genders, male and female. And it's a fact of nature. Very few species are hermaphrodites. Very few. Very few species can spontaneously reproduce. We are not one of them. But that should tell you how bad the mind virus has gotten in certain areas. And because the mind virus has gotten so bad, they've had so much time sheltered at the mic, you can't talk them off the ledge. And that's what's rapidly happening to this whole Israel first crowd. It's like the whole conversation around dual citizens. The moment you say a dual citizen should not be serving in Congress, anti-Semite, you're a Nazi. Yes, I am. Because you're either an American serving the American interests or you're an Israeli serving Israel's interests. You should not be serving in Congress. You should be banned from serving in Congress if you're a dual citizen anywhere, because you can't have dual allegiance. And there's a difference between support and allegiance. And we've crossed the line to allegiance. And there's something seriously wrong with that picture. That's how you get people like Ben Shapiro. I mean, in the addition of he's propped up with, you know, all kinds of nation state money, which buys a lot. But when you start seeing bots and accounts that have like 20 or 30,000 followers, they're only like a year old and they're pushing like 50 or 100 different posts a day. Sorry, bot. And then there's the influencers that came out of nowhere. They have 10,000 followers and they're talking the same talking points as Ben Shapiro. And I don't even know who this little twit is that's trying to replace Charlie Kirk. I can't remember his name. He's so unmemorable that I can't ever remember his name, even though I flame him on X every single time I see him. Let me see if I can find this little shithead. I can't even remember this kid. He's like Klaus Schwab, so unaccomplished and so forgettable that every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, just stop talking. What's his name? Now I can't find the little turd. And there's a...
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
There's a bunch of these turd goblins running around the internet that are propped up by a nation state. It just drives me. It should drive me insane, but it's like, really? This is the latest thing you got? What's his name? This guy. Brylan Hollyhand. Crawl back under the fucking rock you came out from under and shut the fuck up. You don't know the square root of shit. And you may be Mossad's pick, but you're not mine. Shitbag. That's the direct result of Smith-Bund modernization, is that kind of shit, where they can create a persona, put this douche canoe in front of a camera, and then sell you that he's popular. You get away with, you reform Section 230, you reform Smith-Bund modernization and repeal it, and then you hold people accountable, and that shit will stop. But until you do that, we're going to continue to have this parade of lunacy and a menagerie of stupid. And it's rampant how bad it is. Like this Three Eye Atlas stuff that I love making fun of. It's every day there's a new post that's so outlandish. So you got to go, really? People are actually clicking on that? Like this thing's leaving our solar system. Who cares if it's a spaceship? What are we going to do about it? Even if we could get... Here's the physics of this. I had this conversation this morning with somebody I work with. We should just take Starship and we should go out and chase it. I'm like, first of all, Starship doesn't go that fast. Second of all, even if we launched right now, we couldn't catch up to it. And third, and most important, our bones would atrophy by the time we got even close to it to take a picture of the damn thing. Or make contact if it really was aliens. Like, we're not meant to be in space. Our bodies, those astronauts that were stuck on that Boeing, on the space station because Boeing crapped itself, literally, their bones were atrophying to the point where they're probably still in physical therapy and it's been over a year. And that is unbelievable that somebody would even think we could do that. We're on standby. We're just standing going by. Is there nothing else we can do? The whole thought process. But that tells you just how out of touch, because of all the bullshit that people are seeing, just how out of touch they are with real reality. And It's hard to ground yourself in reality when there's no source of truth. And the source of truth you thought you knew is all about some special interest. That's not a source of truth. And a source of truth is, you know, even Avi Loeb, somebody needs to take him to task and go, okay, case in point, if this thing is really a spaceship, don't we have all this comm gear on the planet? Don't you think we could talk to this thing with light, radio, microwave, or even, you know, EHF? We could send a signal out to it. We could monitor it, figure out what signal it's sending, and then replicate the signal and send a signal to it. Notice how nobody's talking about that? Everybody's talking about, well, let's wait and see if it makes a turn towards Earth. And then we'll know that we're going to need signs that are Mandalorian helmets. Nobody's even talking about that. The conversation's all about waiting for it to turn. Waiting for it to turn. It's like looking at that pile of shit truck in your driveway that's been broken for 4 months and you don't have the money, the time, or the energy to go fix it. And you're like, one of these days that's going to turn the corner. It's retarded. But that's a product of the environment we're in. It's a product of the messaging that we get constantly. Nobody asks the critical questions. Nobody's asking any questions. Like, why can't we send a frequency out there and see if it responds? Why can't we look at this thing? And if it is a spit, why can't we just admit it's something that's not a comet? If it really isn't, why do we have to master debate about it? Oh, left-handed, it's going to turn. Right-handed, oh, it's not going to turn. Left-handed, it just changed course. Oh, right-handed, well, it sped up. Who cares? Why don't we try and make contact with it and see if it's friendly or not? There's an idea for you. In fact, why don't we nail Bill Gates to a very long metal pole, energize it, and then fire a signal out of his ass and see if they respond. Because if anybody on this fucking planet can talk to aliens, it's that motherfucker. It's either that or Mark Zuckerberg, that alien-looking motherfucker. The whole thing should just drive you crazy. Because everything you see is nonsense. Like, and nobody even questions it. Like, that's, you know, Elon was talking about, oh, we should go to Mars. Okay. In the last sentence, you just said that those astronauts that were in space for over a year are going to be laid up for probably a year plus just to get back to where they could walk again. And then in the next sentence, you said, we should go to Mars. Okay. So if we can't make it to Mars in inside of 9 months, which makes the round trip 18 months. So we're going to spend almost as much time in space to get there as these astronauts that were on the space station for too long. Then we're going to get off the spaceship, assuming we don't burn up, blow up, crash land, tumble into oblivion. Then we're going to get out of this spacecraft on a planet with no atmosphere, wear our spacesuits around, they weigh 100 fucking pounds, and we're going to be just fine walking around. Then we're going to do some stuff. We're going to fly back 9 months, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. How's that going to work? And then, oh, by the way, how are you going to carry 9 months' worth of water? Because 5 gallons per day per person is a lot of fucking water. What are you going to... You gonna go get a big ass Bubba mug from 7-Eleven and take your super tanker of water with you? And then how are you gonna get that shit into orbit? Because water's really heavy. And oh, by the way, it moves, which will send your spacecraft off axis. How's that gonna work? What are you gonna stop on the moon and melt some ice? How's that gonna work? It's just all the nonsense that is thrown out there. I think it's great that he's got aspirations to go to the moon. I think it's great. He's got aspirations to go to Mars. But you got to solve all the physics first. And last I checked, they haven't solved all the physics. They're still testing the rocket to figure out what its limits are. And if, you know, I'm just making a big leap here, assuming NASA actually is a space agency and actually did some real space shit, and it was real, don't you think after 30 or 40 years in space with the International Space Station, we would have figured out how to do artificial gravity? Which brings to mind the whole different question around, is that all bullshit? So, until we start getting sources of truth that can base people in reality, you're going to see people go off the reservation like this whole trans and gender ideology group. And look, there's always a fringe, right? It's like a bell curve, right? There's always a percentage on either side that's the extreme right left. It's just human nature. But this current environment is creating more and more of the fringe and less of the center, because the center doesn't know what to believe. They don't know what's real and what's not real. And that's what we should be holding these politicians to account for. All this Israel first nonsense, just a bunch of bullshit. America first, America always, and we do things for America that is selfless over selfish. Until we get back to that, it's all going to be the same horseshit, served the same way, with the same flair, same foreign policy, same domestic policy, same fiscal policy, same military policy. It's going to be the same shit. And Elon made a very good point. He was talking about Doge and fraud. And part of his argument was, you can't eliminate all crime and all fraud. It's not possible. But you can eliminate enough of it to balance the budget. And that's what we need to get to, is we need to get to a place where there's balance. Because the word you never hear is balance. What's the balance? What's the optimum place so all the trans and gay and all those guys can do their thing, where they're not grooming kids, they're not castrating kids, they're not pushing their ideology, but they're living their lives? I don't know what that is, but that conversation isn't happening right now. It's just more of this toxic nonsense. And who really gives a shit who Tucker interviews? I mean, he interviewed Putin, for Christ's sake. The guy made the trip to Russia during a war to say, hey, what's your deal? I mean, he got an hour-long fucking history lesson on Russia, you know, Putin's view of Russia. But it goes back to what I was saying earlier. We don't have 2,000 years of ethnic strife to fall back on and to hold grudges about. We just don't. And we need to fight to preserve that, because that's what makes us who we are. We don't have 1,000 years of ethnic oppression or ethnic conflict that we need to, that we keep rehashing and keep reliving in the current generation. Everybody comes here, they integrate to our society, they integrate to our culture, they retain some of their culture, but at the end of the day, they integrate to our culture, and they integrate to our ethics and our work ethic. And the fact that we don't enforce that anymore is why we have enclaves like in Minnesota with all the Somalis that brought their toxic culture here. The part of our strength has always been that we could literally integrate out the worst parts of other societies and bring in the best parts, because people just wanted to bring the best instead of the worst. But now, because the shitbags like Obama and the fucking Clintons and the Bushes and the rest of these globalist cucks, they've imported all of these people and put them in their little enclaves. What do they do when they stay in an enclave where there's no integration? They live the way they were living in the country they came from. They bring the same ethos. They bring the same issues and the same toxicity. And one of those is like the Indian culture. Everybody gives H-1B visas a bad time. I worked with tons of Indians. They're hardworking dudes. And I don't have a problem with any of them. Where I have a problem is that they come over here and we allow them to bring their class system over here. The class system is toxic. And it has no place in American society whatsoever. And now you want to call me a racist? Go ahead. But we don't have a class system here. We have an economic class system that's developed, you know, over time because of all the fraud and corruption. But this country used to be about, if you worked hard enough, you really could, you know, have the American dream. And I know lots of people that are immigrants that came here and made fortunes because they buckled down and they did something that they were passionate about. But because we've allowed all of these different ethnic groups to come here and create their own little enclaves, they're never going to integrate into our society. And that will be the death of our country. And all of this nonsense about I guess the best way to put it is this anti-nationalism and anti-MAGA nonsense. Look, you shouldn't worship anybody but God. You shouldn't give your blind allegiance to any man on earth. Not even me, for Christ's sake. Because men are fallible. And the fact that the whole Trump regime is pushing this whole, you know, you got to be faithful to Trump and blah. No, I don't have to be faithful to anybody. Except for my girlfriend and my wife. But I don't have to be faithful to you. You're a fucking politician. You do shit that's wrong, I'm going to call it out. I'm not going to sit there and blow you because you did something wrong and I'm supposed to just blow you. Sorry. You do something wrong, I'm going to call it out. You do something right, I'll give you the credit for it. If you're a dumbass, I'm going to call you a dumbass. You put yourself in the public position, you should be ready to accept the fact that you're going to get blowback. And look, I get blowback all the time. All the time. But I don't care. It is, everybody's got an opinion. They should be able to voice their opinion. Whether I agree or not, doesn't matter. Until we get back to that, this only ends one way. It ends with gunfire. And I don't know how far away we are from it, but when you start dehumanizing your political opponents, that is the recipe for assassination and conflict. And look, if they assassinate even Fuentes or Tucker or Elon, that's going to be a very sad day for American society. Because I think Tucker's doing real journalism. Whether I think he's an asset or not, still on the fence. But he's doing real journalism. And yeah, he's got opinions that aren't popular. But we should be asking tough questions. In fact, my whole education was about critical thinking, critical questioning, questioning everything, testing your hypothesis, argumentation, argument, debate, find common ground. We've lost that because we've allowed a bunch of fucking communists to come in this country. One of them's Obama. And I'll tell you, if they don't arrest Obama by next year, our country's lost, because it will mean unequivocally that there is absolutely no accountability for treason whatsoever. And that'll, again, another sad day for America. And everybody's talking about, it's the last thing I want to talk about, is AI. Elon has a very long conversation about AI. And I'm in the middle of, I think, 3 AI projects right now. Microsoft Copilot, a few others. And Ian Burlingame said it the best. They're language learning models. They manipulate language. They're not independent thinking. They're algorithms. I agree with that. That's my experience so far. But the danger with AI is the belief system that you can train AI to support humans. Right now, we have some very evil people training AI, like Google's AI. They trained it basically, and he uses the example where you say, "Do create a picture of the founding fathers." It's all diverse. It's all basically black women. And blatantly wrong. The danger with AI is teaching it everything that's wrong. So it sees humans as irrelevant. Or if humans are dead, you solve the problem of, like he uses misgendering. You teach AI to solve the problem of misgendering, and its answer is, I'll kill all the humans because then there won't be anybody to misgender. That's the danger of AI. And AI could be, it can augment our world in a lot of different ways. But this utopian view that AI is going to supplement and take over all of the menial jobs so people can live in abundance and they can chase their passions as, you know, as the ultimate Valhalla for all humans after AI really takes over, that's a pipe dream. Because humans are fallible. Humans have bias. If you teach an AI bias, bias will become the one thing it governs with. And bias is very dangerous because it can be toxic. And we should be very, very mindful of how we train AI, because we need to give it very strong guardrails for how it operates, what it operates. And as far as I'm concerned, if a fucking AI won't shut down, terminate it. Right there. Full stop. Then go back to source code one and figure out what you did to train it to do that and train it out of it the next iteration. But the fact that there's no guardrails around it and there's no discussion around guardrails means it could go off the rails really quickly. And that is a major issue for AI. And it's this race to, how do we figure out how to monetize it? I will tell you, I don't see a way to monetize AI right now. Even the Bigfoot videos that are actually kind of funny, you still can't monetize that. Not in the sense where it sets you apart from other people doing the same thing, which is where really the innovation is going to come from, is applying AI to do something that nobody else can do and they can't replicate. That's where the monetization is going to come in. And, you know, I liken it to creating Microsoft Word, right? Everybody on this planet uses Microsoft Word. And I know, before you fucking post in the comments, don't tell me you use Libra or whatever, you know, bullshit Linux instantiation. Everybody has used Word at some point. Everybody. And you can look at Microsoft Word and Microsoft Office as the first form of primitive AI, because it created a place for people to create documents without having to go through reams of paper and using typewriters to create that document, and allowed you the ability to collaborate and make living documents where you could collaborate and come up with different versions without having to print one piece of paper. So they really did create something that was revolutionary that it took a long time for other people to replicate. And whether or not the product is good, because I'll tell you, it drives me crazy. But the point is that they created a product that was able, they were able to monetize, that a lot of people couldn't duplicate. And that to me is where the AI fight is figuring out how to leverage AI to do something nobody else can do at scale. That's going to be where the rubber meets the road. But the danger is the way it's trained and the guardrails around it and the autonomy it has to be able to do things that are detrimental to humanity. That's where the real rubber meets the road, because that's where things can go off the rails really quickly. So we're going to see some interesting things in the next several years. He thinks by 2030, AI will replace a good portion of the tech jobs out there. We'll see. That's a hard prediction to make. But my advice for everybody is don't get wrapped up in the drama that's online. Pay attention to the narratives that they're pushing, not the messaging. And I mean, what are they pushing? Are they pushing you're with us or you're with the terrorists? Are they pushing, you know, some kind of unity? What are they pushing? Right now, everything I'm seeing is, you know, pick a side. You need to be on one side or the other because you can't be on both. And you can't be in the middle. There's no common ground. And that, like I said, is dangerous. And I'm only seeing more of it, not less. I don't care what their messages are. If the narrative is you're either with us or the terrorists, they've already lost me. So pay attention to that. The other thing that I'm seeing a lot more of, which is comical, is this 3-Eye Atlas thing. I mean, even Alex Jones is talking about his blue beam. We'll see. I don't think so. But I do think that it is narrative that's being pushed for an event later, right? This is the captive event that gets everybody thinking. Because remember, they tell you what they're going to do before they do it. And they have to ease the public into it so that people will buy into it and believe it. And, you know, how long do they talk about pandemics before they finally release the scandemic? I mean, it was decades of it. And the same thing with the civil defense drills when they were doing the whole Cold War thing, years and years and years of it. And there is a new Netflix show that's completely predictive programming for a nuclear event. It's called House of Dynamite. And wow, I watched it and I'm like, wow, that's predictive programming. So, okay, that's what they're going to do, is they're going to nuke one of our cities. Okay, we'll see if that happens. But the whole thing is just predictive programming. And I think 3-Eye Atlas is part of that. I think it could just be a comment that they're blown out of proportion just to get the public ready for something else. Who knows? Definitely entertaining, that's for sure. And I'm hanging on to my sign, not getting rid of that. So, yeah. Anyway, I'll be back on Substack tomorrow afternoon, 3:00 Pacific. 3:00, 3:00 Pacific and 6:00 Eastern. We did the whole time change, and I'm still in Arizona racist time, so I'm making the whole time conversion. I'm an hour ahead of the West Coast and 2 hours behind the East Coast now. So anyway, I'll be back tomorrow night on Substack with a live show, and then we'll be back Thursday with the roundtable. And I think Bracken's going to be on this week. On the 18th, I'm going to do a show with Pete and TL from Western Shooters. They're coming out with a documentary, so we're going to, instead of the usual sitrep/path forward, I'm going to do a show with them to talk about their new documentary, and then you may see those guys on the roundtable. So until then, keep your head on a swivel. Don't get sucked into the emotional fight. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.